Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour. It is John Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. It is myself. I am a guy named Frankenberry. You can giggle if you would like. And we have another show for you this week. And I think we're going to be talking to a doctor.
Yeah. So not only a doctor, but she's a naturopathic doctor and also a clinical social worker. So I love the title of this book. We will be talking with Dr. Emily Caldwell in the break, and her book is called And Imagine This, What If You're Right? And the subhead is Discover How Right You Are in a World That Makes You Feel So Wrong. And boy, if that doesn't hit right at a pain point for many these days. And I'm loving her book. It is a refreshing and interesting approach to anybody who's caught in that perpetual, I need to fix what's wrong with me.
You know, what's interesting and this reminds me of, oh God, who is that other guest that we love? So Pam Grout. Didn't she write a book called like What If Up or What If It All Goes Right?
Oh, that's Mindy Audlin.
Oh, Mindy Audlin wrote that book?
What If It All Goes Right. Yep.
But this to me, I think it's going to be a little bit different, right? I think the focus of her book is, you know, you might feel like there's something wrong with you, but maybe there's not. I could be wrong.
Yeah, maybe what's flawed is your belief that something is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Or possibly maybe what's flawed is everybody else's belief of what you should be.
Oh, bingo.
Okay.
Boy, we got a convert, Jonna. We got ourselves a convert.
Whoa.
Hey, listen, ladies, just because I occasionally make a point doesn't mean suddenly I've been converted. I'm going to be able to drop freaking self-help people off the end of my tongue like, oh, no, that book was written by her back, I don't know, 10 years ago, I think. It was her only book. And
I'm crawling back on my chair from the floor. Okay.
Woo.
Yeah, you, Frankenberry.
Preach, Frankenberry. Preach.
Yes, that's me there, Jonna Spilbor. And I hope in all your crawling and all your drama there, you are at least wearing a brassiere this week.
I am, but man, that hurt when I hit the floor, me and my jaw. I can't believe it. Carol, it's only been, 13 years and he finally paid attention to something. Ugh.
Well, no, he didn't pay. I don't think it was about him paying completely about him paying attention. It was this powerful revelation about societal expectations and self-improvement, right?
We tend to live in a world like that these days. So, people wanting you to be just like them. So, I can definitely understand where she's coming from.
Yeah. So it's going to be I can't wait to talk to her in a little bit.
So, all right. So we need to reflect on that last week here for a moment, because Jonna, you were telling the story of your neighbor with the chainsaw completely disrupting your Friday night happy hour from 5 to 8. And you decided you were going to march down there and confront them. And when you got most of the way there, realized you had left your bra home and wisely decided not to confront them. And then I shared the story of our little place out in Pennsylvania, how one morning on a Sunday morning at 6:40 a.m., our neighbor was using a gas-powered post-hole digger.
Yes.
And then you had raised the question about, well, did you go over and confront him? And I, paraphrasing, something about, no, because we have to get along, we're neighbors, and I don't want to win that one little battle and then end up not with a good relationship.
You're all mature and stuff. I got it.
Yeah, I'm all mature and stuff, seeing the big picture and stuff like that. Wouldn't you know, we wake up Sunday morning out at the place in PA that has well water, and there ain't no water. We got nothing. We can't flush a toilet. We got nothing.
Ugh.
Other neighbor happens to be a plumber and electrician, came over, diagnosed it, said it's the well pump. And he said, geez, if your neighbors are home and they'll let you connect their hose to your house, we can feed your system and you'll be back in business until I fix this.
Boom.
They were home and they were happy to let us do that. And as a result, I could flush the toilet, take showers, wash dishes, everything until everything got fixed the next day.
There you go. Very nice.
Mature.
That's right. And a little diplomacy. It worked out in that regard because I, you know, they didn't slam the door in your face and say, oh, what's that about our gasoline powered post hole digger?
Oh, Now you want to be friends.
Yeah. Now you need a shower there, Miss Stinky Pants. Oh, sure.
So moral of the story is
stop being juvenile like Jonas Spielberg.
Wear your bra when you leave the house.
That's right. Number one.
Right.
Number two, look at the big picture and take the high road.
So you're saying I shouldn't march over to my neighbor and ask if I can borrow their chainsaw and then either A, never give it back so that they can never use their chainsaw again, or B, start chainsawing something at about 4 a.m. That's what you're saying?
Apologies, yeah, but that's pretty much the gist of it.
But I have an easier one for you if you get yourself, because I think the most annoying sound in the world is a gas leaf blower. And I have one, and I use it. But that so you can get yourself one of those and you could start it up and just sit on your deck, put your feet up and just keep hitting the trigger.
That would be so satisfying.
I know it would be. Meanwhile, she's got kittens flying off the deck.
Exactly. Can you see the poor kittens as they're flying off? You didn't tell us about this part.
The cat houses are blowing over. But she's sitting there sipping a glass of wine with a crap-eating grin on her face.
Yep.
That's right.
That would be so.
See, if you are going to choose revenge, you got to be smart about it, or they don't, not really sure that's what you're doing.
You know what? You're 100%. You are 100% right. But as it turns out, I'm a whole different person this week.
Okay. All right. So what makes this week different than the other weeks where you became a whole different person?
I have found. Okay. I'm going to tell you. You guys know over the last dozen plus years that I was anti meditation. We've talked about it. I can't quiet my mind. I have tried on several occasions. We've had a number of guests over the years. Some of them are very good friends. You know, Deb Hanlon comes to mind, who do this for a living. They help people meditate for a living. I have tried it on a number of occasions. I could just never get it right. And I'd end up just getting aggravated because I thought that meditating meant you have to clear your mind of all thought and just have this like blank mind. I just blank it out. And I can't do that. Ain't nobody got time for that. But as it happens, maybe because I reached a threshold after getting, you know, chainsawed to oblivion on a happy hour on a Friday and one of the last bastions of summer, maybe I actually decided to try meditation again. But this time I did what they call a guided meditation. And the guided meditation is a little easier because you don't have to clear your mind. You kind of think about what they're guiding you to think about, which could be like fluffy kittens, fluffy clouds, fun things, nice things. That's a little easier for people like me who can't just quiet it all down. And as a result, I am now addicted to meditation. I have no meditation.
Okay.
Can't get enough meditation.
So who did you choose for the guide? Where'd you find it? Is it the same person or are you just finding YouTube videos?
YouTube. I just go to the YouTubes and I look at the ones that aren't 45 minutes long. Like I got to stick my guided meditations in my time frame. So I look for ones that are like under 10 minutes and then I just keep doing them. And now I am much more relaxed, I think. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, you know, we
will. Next time something happens. But I do think, kidding aside, I do think it makes sense to me now that you can reprogram your little brain. You can start the day instead of thinking like, how can I steal a chainsaw and cut my neighbor in hospital without going to prison? Like, those thoughts cross my mind. Now I replace those thoughts with, wow, look at the beautiful river. Wow, look at that cute little kitten. Wow, look at the Pete. There is no sound right now. And that is a beautiful thing, even if it's only for 30 seconds. And thinking thoughts of gratitude. And when you start that way, you can kind of keep that going even when crap happens. I'm noticing.
Okay, you are 100% right. One, two. Yeah. Frank and Mary, please take a timestamp on this, because the next rant that she has, and she will have one, we're going to pause her and play that little sound bite. Okay, pumpkin.
Okay. Yes. Now that she has found grace, we will recall this. Yes, in the future.
Oh yeah, it'll be perfect.
Well,
it'll bring me so much joy.
And you know, it'd be even better, you know, put it to like a little bit of a beat, you know, where John says, I found peace, I found peace, I found peace, I found peace, you know, and then boom, back to, you're not gonna believe, I found peace, I found peace, I found peace, I found peace, you know. So yeah, something like that.
You are the one. You are the one who can do this.
Yes.
But get ready. Get ready for it. Oh, no. All kidding aside, you are 100% right. It's powerful. It affects every aspect of your life. It affects your physical state, your health, how you look at the world, how you respond to the world, what you create, your relationships, everything.
It truly does. And for somebody who, I agree with everything that you're saying, and I've always agreed with everything that you just said right there.
In theory.
Right. But then I
now in practice.
So it's a whole new world, I'm telling you. And so it's interesting. So I'm yes. Am I going to have another rant in the future? Probably a million, of course. But I'll be able to get myself out of that rant mode, that festering, burning fire belly, want to stomp on people's faces a lot sooner than I have in the past. That's a good thing. Yes.
And yet, Carol, she was so close, because she sounds like she so enjoys it.
I have million dollar idea number 3008.
Tell me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Yep. All right. You ready?
Yep.
You and me both need to create a series of guided meditations where the content is point on, but we curse.
Oh.
So did another get under your skin today? Well, today we're going to walk you through a process to let that go. Let that S go, right?
And it'll come so natural to us.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh my God. So natural.
Yeah.
You know what? We could easily do this. We could easily do it. Like, just like we do this show.
Mm-hmm. You
and I, and look, just like for me, like just on the YouTubes, we in 5 minutes.
So the key is now to come up with a good name for it.
Yeah. And you're really good at that too.
So are you.
Indeed.
You are really good at that too. And it reminds me, this is a little bit of a segue into not into our guest, but did I share with you, Frank and Barry, probably didn't share with you because you don't do the Instagram. But
I do not. It's completely unnecessary.
Carol does the Instagram. And I think I shared this guy with you. He's a chef, and he's kind of a youngish, good looking guy. And his handle is something like Arya Hungry, but it's like A-R-Y-A Hungry. And he does these recipes, and he shows you how to do these recipes. And he drops nothing but F-bombs the entire time. He's like, and then you gotta put some effing salt on it. And then you gotta pound the effing chicken. But it's hilarious. So he's kind of, maybe he could be one of our, he might be one of our followers once we come up with our aptly named 5 minute YouTube's meditation.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, something, you know, Jonna and Carol's, you know, I don't know, Jonna and Carol's guide to meditation and blank with an S, you know?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, Jonna and Carol's guide to meditation and fit.
The potty mouth's way to change your life.
Yeah. There you go.
I like it. But if this is how Carol operates, Frank and Barry. This is now going to be, this is going to be whirring in the back of her mind.
Oh, it already is. I'm already taking notes.
Oh, yeah. I can smell smoke.
And then I'm going to, and then I'm going to get a text. Then I'm going to respond to that text with MF, genius. That's it. Boom. That's how this is going to go.
You think we know each other at this point?
I do occasionally. I still stop myself from texting you videos of my dishwasher in action. Just, you know, because I'm like, all right, I've done this already. I'm going to do it again.
Maybe that'll be the opening scene for every video is my dishwasher going.
I love it.
And we'll close every video with the top of your head with foil on it and you crinkling it going.
I love this noise.
People listening are like, what is wrong with these people? I don't get it. You got to listen. You got to tune into the show on a regular basis and you'd understand.
Or maybe our listeners are saying, what if we're right? What if we're right?
Nicely done. Wow. I will give you credit on that one there, Spielberg. Very nicely done.
Trophy. Oh,
this meditation thing, you are on fire.
Yeah, she is. She is. And for audience's sake, that was Jonna. Not only is she a master meditator, as she has named herself today on the Zoom, but she is also a master segue-er.
So Segura.
No, I'll let you guys
Now you sound like Tom Segura. Yeah. All right. So coming up after the break, we will be talking with Dr. Emily Colwell. She's a licensed and board certified naturopathic doctor and clinical social worker and author of my newest favorite title of a book, What If You're Right? Discover how right you are in a world that makes you feel so wrong.
Okay. That is on the way next. That is our very cool guest still to come. So please hang around with Jonna Spielborn, Carol Pesci, and this fella here. And we'll be right back with segment number two, where you can learn stuff.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour. Here it is, Jonna Spielborg, Carol Pesci, and some guy. And it's time now to get to our guest. It is segment number two, and I had mentioned this earlier. But though she says to call her Emily, she is still a doctor.
Officially, yes. We have on the line with us Dr. Emily Colwell. She is a licensed and board-certified naturopathic doctor and a clinical social worker. She blends her expertise in clinical social work and naturopathic medicine into her current practice, where she addresses the emotional health of patients. Gosh, how important is that? As she finds this has a profound and lasting impact on physical health as well. Emily's personal encounters with anxiety, childhood trauma, family addiction, chronic illness, shifting sexual orientation, and cancer have been her teacher, showing her the capacity for healing, regardless of the circumstances. These days, Emily dabbles in comical antics, group karaoke, and morning squats. She is here today to talk to us about her book. I absolutely love this title, What If You're Right? Discover how right you are in a world that makes you feel so wrong. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So great to be here.
I am thoroughly enjoying your book on many levels. I guess from the biggest picture, mostly, that we certainly do live in a time, and social media can be very beneficial and helpful and enjoyable in some respects, but also puts so many of us, especially young people, who I think would benefit also tremendously from your book, in this sense of perpetual wrongness. And there's something about us that we have to fix to measure up. And that is that's not the case is the primary message of your book. Am I right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's so true. And you're right with social media. You know, I talk a lot in the book about how we learn to have this lens of wrongness that we use to look at ourselves and our lives. And it really is fostered by our culture. And oh my gosh, you throw social media into the mix and we're just constantly seeing pictures that are reflecting how we're not up to snuff, you know, that we're wrong.
A good way to go through your day every day.
No.
Feeling like, oh, I'll finally be okay, or I can feel confident when I fix this, change this. And
exactly.
That's not a great place to live from.
No. So true.
I guess, can we back up here a little bit? I always love to know the backstory. So and maybe we have people listening who've already read your book. I have read most of it. But for people who haven't, what's the backstory what drove you to a point where you wanted to write this book and share the stories and share what you learn? What's the backstory?
Yeah. Well, you know, my perspective or my understanding of the lens of wrongness grew over time. And I think it was through my experience with thyroid cancer. It was in 2018. You know, I was diagnosed with what appeared to be an aggressive form of thyroid cancer, and it definitely shook me up. And I was really, really future tripping about all the horrible things that this could lead to, et cetera. And then in those first few hours where I was just shaking after I'd learned about my diagnosis, I suddenly thought, my God, I never had thought before about how much my thyroid had been doing for me on my behalf since I was in the womb. And I started to just really appreciate how much she'd been doing. And in the process of my experience through that cancer, I fell in love with my cancerous thyroid. And there were a lot of moments, like, you know, in a few weeks into that diagnosis, before any treatment had happened, I went to the gym and I was so exhausted and I barely able to do the exercises. And I thought, oh, great. Now you're identifying too much with your cancer. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice that said to me, Emily, health is pouring through you right now. It's just pouring through you. And it was so striking to me because I realized here I had cancer in my body, and yet 100 million other things in my body were working so well. And so that kind of paradigm shift happened throughout that experience. And it ended up being a very powerful experience. And my cancer shrank 3 times smaller than what it was at the diagnosis. It ended up not being aggressive. And it was a strange thing to fall in love with, you know, your cancer, the cells. And I think from that experience, it just really leaked into the rest of my life, that perspective where I just kept thinking, wow, I would think that going through cancer, I would only be able to see the wrongness of it. And yet there was so many gifts tucked into that experience. And it was a perspective that had already been growing, but that really cemented it. And I started sharing about that. And people really started relating. And then that's how the ideas of the book were born.
It's really, so this is a variation on, I'm sure you've heard of Anita Morjani.
Mm-hmm.
And she had was on her deathbed. Her body was loaded with cancer, and yeah, she had a near-death experience. And I guess we're getting a little bit of an offshoot here, but it's exactly what you're saying, that she got this clear message that she was living her life from a place of fear. And when she started loving everything and showing up with love, she literally, it's a powerful book, she healed herself. So I have no doubt that a very similar, you hear it like as woo-woo, the power of love, but really when we could find a way to do that, you were literally healing yourself. So by the time you had strep throat, that's actually what was going on.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't work out of the gym.
And that delayed your surgery. You decided to choose this perspective and give love and appreciation to your thyroid. And your diagnosis and the size of the tumor completely changed by the time they operated. Yeah. It's amazing.
And I'll tell you, I don't even know if I could say that I decided to have that perspective. It almost chose me.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Really, you know? And I also will say, I don't want any listeners who are, you know, hearing this to think that there wasn't also room for the real feelings that come up through that. And I think if we just try to be, you know, have toxic positivity, then it's bypassing some other stuff, and it doesn't hold the strength of it. You know, it dilutes it.
I have learned that the hard way. I never thought it was possible that positivity could be toxic.
It really can. It really
there's a place for it, but you can take it too far.
Yeah.
So Emily, somebody's listening right now, they're not dealing with a major health issue, and maybe somebody was listening just a moment ago that what we just shared will be helpful to them, but they just have this sense of lacking self-confidence, they don't feel like they're good enough, they're always maybe constantly reading self-help books or trying to figure out how to fix what's wrong with them.
Yeah.
Talk to that person. Where do they begin?
Yeah, well, first of all, one thing that I have come to find really helpful is understanding that we have so many different parts of us that make up who we are. And for example, I have had anxiety my whole life, and I used to identify as my anxiety, like that's who I was. And when I started to understand that that's just one part of me, then it became possible to develop a different relationship with that part of me. And so when, you know, when someone lacks confidence or is feeling bad about themselves, that is one part of them. And sure, when it gets loud, it feels like it is us. But it's really because that part's trying to get our attention because it's ready to heal. And so when we start being able to get to know some of those parts that are really loud in us, in our lives, and it may sound woo-woo, but literally we can get to know them. Sometimes, you know, you need help with a practitioner at first, but it allows us to change our relationship with it. And for example, with my anxiety, oh my gosh, it was my arch enemy for so much of my life. And I was like constantly trying to figure out what I needed to do to get rid of it. And I would try this approach and that one, and maybe it would work for a little while. And then it would come, you know, storming back. And I'd be so disappointed in myself for not having mastered, you know, getting rid of it. And when I started to get to know it, I started to understand that there were messages tucked into that anxiety. And that so now when my anxiety comes, because the truth is, I still have anxiety. It's not here as loudly all the time as it used to be, but it still comes back. And now when it comes back, for a quick minute, I might say, oh, and then I remember and I say, oh, hey, it's you again. Okay, you can be here too. What are you needing right now? You know, and I feel that part of me breathe a sigh of relief because that's what it was trying to do, was getting it wanted my attention. And it's these parts of us are not asking for our attention so that we can fix how they're feeling. It's so that we can be present with them and acknowledge how they're feeling. And that's what brings the relief.
So, Emily, you are a sister from another mister. I wrote a book called Hello Beautiful, where I talked about this, and I'm not licensed,
really?
As you are. Yes.
Yeah.
And I talked about this exact topic, but I put it in the concept of every aspect of us, every experience is like a member of our board of directors.
Yeah.
And they all deserve a seat at the table, but you got to choose who's in charge.
And so,
if fear is showing up, they have a right to be there. If you fight against fear, they're going to fight against you, and nobody wins a war when you go to war with yourself. So it's about what we resist persists, right? And that has to do with every aspect of that's what you're saying about ourselves too. So if you have anxiety and you've been fighting against it for years, literally stop fighting with it and maybe talk to it, right? It sounds so crazy. I mean, you're a doctor.
Yeah, no.
And you're endorsing.
And I take people through that process all the time. And people who have had these parts of themselves for years that they just hate, and they so badly don't want to be that way anymore. And when we start getting to know those parts and start to understand, whoa, they've been trying to protect them in the only way they know how for all this time, like their intentions are so good, then it helps in the long run. It helps those parts update their beliefs so that they don't have to be so loud trying to get our attention anymore.
Emily, I think this would be a perfect point for you to talk about the exercise with the fist.
Oh yeah, I love that. Yeah, so it really is. For all the listeners, if you make a fist for a minute, and that fist represents whatever the heck is here right now that is so uncomfortable or unwanted in your life, it could be emotions, it could be a situation, could be relationships. And I want you to take your other hand and try to pry that fist open to get that stuff out of there, fix it, make it go away, and notice how your fist responds.
It fights more. It gets
stronger. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It fights against it. And this is a very normal human response. And we are never going to get rid of having this as one of the responses that we have when unwanted emotions or situations show up. But what happens is it creates an inner fight within us. So our whole nervous system gets engaged. And this is what we're doing when we are, you know, feeling like a perpetual self-improvement project. Like, oh my God, here's another thing about me that I have to fix. We're like in there doing this, trying to pry our fist open. So now I want you to keep that fist and now take your other hand and just place it under your fist and gently hold your fist and notice how your fist responds.
Wow.
What do you notice?
It relaxes.
Yeah. And it may not fly open, but there's something that softens in your fist. And the interesting thing is that absolutely nothing in your fist, none of those situations that are unwanted or emotions that are unwanted, nothing has changed yet. And yet your experience of it feels different. And that's exactly what I talk about all through the book, all different ways that we can learn to do a dance when we catch ourselves in that fighting place where we're trying to pry the fist open. And there are going to be a billion times when we don't catch it because it is a human response. But sometimes when we catch it, we get to say, oh, wait a minute. Let me see how I can shift so that I'm holding it instead and acknowledging that it's here and being present with it. And it's so counter to what our brains know how to think, but we find relief in there. And it's when things soften, it's like more clarity can come in with more ease. Yeah, it's such a beautiful dance to be able to learn.
Emily, can I jump in here? Sorry, this is Jonna, and I
yeah.
A bus went by earlier, and I lost my Wi-Fi, and I missed some very important stuff that you were saying. But I want to jump in because you just did this exercise, which physically, because I was doing it while you were telling us to do it.
Yeah,
it physically showed me how your body responds, and this is so fascinating because lately. A couple weeks ago, I had an incident where I was going to steal my neighbor's chainsaw and machete him with it because he was interrupting my peace and when I wanted peace. And since then, when I get a little bit uptight over something, I don't even think about the thing that's making me uptight, but I just go, you know what? This is a very beautiful flower. Oh my God, look at that butt. And I just take my mind onto something that's so peaceful or beautiful or something I can really appreciate.
Yeah.
For a half a minute, for maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And for that period of time, it relaxes my whole body, but I didn't realize like it actually physically, I thought it was just emotionally relaxing me, but it's probably physically relaxing us.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, when we're having big feelings, sometimes it really does work to totally shift our focus and notice something beautiful, something we appreciate, et cetera. And there are other times when that is freaking impossible, you know? And so when that's the case, then it's what's normally happening when we have a really strong feeling that feels so uncomfortable is we're trying to get out of it or away from it or make it stop. And so that's what the fight is. And so when we pause for a moment to say, oh, it's like when I would rush like a maniac to get the kids to school on time and we'd be driving down the road and, you know, I'd feel so pressured. And one day when they were younger, my one kid said, "Mommy, you're driving so wild." And I was like, oh my God, my 5-year-old can notice this. And so it was around that time that I was playing with this anyway. And so what I started doing was coming inside my body and noticing what does it feel like inside my body right now when I'm feeling so pressured. And it was like my heart was racing. Everything felt tense. My shoulders were up by my ears. And then I would just say to that pressured part of me, okay, I can feel it. I'm right here. I can feel it. We're just going to drive to school. I just want you to know I can feel how pressured you're feeling. And something in me would relax the way it does when you put your hand under your fist. You know, so it's not that I had to get away from the feeling or stop it. It was just acknowledging it. And letting it know I was there with it, you know? Kind of like when you're at the dinner table with little kids and they're all trying to compete for who's going to be heard. And when you turn to one of them and say, okay, tell me what it is. You hold on. I'm going to hear from you in a minute. Now you tell me. The one that's been like, suddenly they tell you and then they're calm. It's not trying to get your attention.
Oh my God, that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
You know, and that's what these feelings when we're like, no, I don't want to have this. And we're trying not to have it. When we make room for it, not fixing it, just being like, hey, I can feel you're here at the table, right? I can feel that you're here and I'm right here with you. That has an amazing amount of power. And it sounds so simple and maybe even a little bit woo-woo, but it's crazy how helpful it can be.
Maybe
Emily, you talk in your book about a micro moment reset. Can you share with our listeners? Because that's kind of what you were just describing.
Yeah,
in those examples.
Totally. So I talk a lot about micro moment pauses, which is where just what I did, I described in the car, where I'm just like, whoa, I'm noticing what's happening in there when I'm feeling the pressure. But micro moment reset is an audio that I have that takes people, I mean, it's an audio, but people can ultimately do it on their own too, where people identify a feeling in them, like, you know, someone will come in feeling totally overwhelmed. And I'll say, okay, where do you feel the overwhelm most loudly in your body right now? Maybe they'll say, in my chest. I'll say, okay, close your eyes. And if you can imagine what the cells of that feeling look like, what comes to mind? And some people will see things visually, and some people aren't visual. So say, what does it feel like? And they'll say pressure or something. And they'll say, okay, can you pick? And I'll say, you know, do they have a color? Is there a temperature? Are things close together or far apart? Are they moving or vibrating? Is it rhythmic or chaotic? So they identify all that. And then I have them, the ones who are visual, envision that, whatever it is, in the middle of a field. And then I have them go and either plop down next to those cells in the middle of the field or sit on the edge if that feels better, edge of the field where they can still see them, but they're not so close. And then they literally just sit with those cells that are feeling overwhelmed. And they just sit there and say, I can feel how overwhelmed you're feeling. And I just want to be here with you, you know, no matter what you're feeling right now. It's totally okay in this moment. I'm just going to sit here with you. And they'll sit there. And what happens for 99% of the people is that how those cells are vibrating or moving, it will start to change, or the color will change, or they'll start to flatten out, or a lot of times they end up disappearing or just getting super calm. And then the person feels calm. They come out of it and they're like, whoa, I have been in overwhelm for over a month and I feel so calm now. And what they did was the fist in the hand again. They just did it in a field with the cell.
Emily, I have a big thought here.
Yeah.
You gave the analogy of all the children at the table vying for attention. Yeah. They want to be heard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When we're triggered as adults, where we fly off the handle or feel stressed or get really angry or something, and we don't even necessarily always identify what it is that triggered us.
Right.
Could these feelings be representations of when we were kids and either a message that we heard or something that happened to us and then a defense mechanism that we developed that are now showing up in our adult life? But if we come at them with the love, compassion, patience as if they are children or children of ours, yeah, we can completely change how we approach and interact with those experience, those triggers, those feelings.
Totally. It's kind of like reparenting those parts, because some of the parts of us that developed over the years to help us with the whole variety of things, which honestly at the time when, you know, if they developed when we were kids, oh my God, they were so creative, such creative ways of helping us survive. And yes, you fast forward and those creative ways don't serve us in the same way anymore. But those parts are still like their beliefs have never had a chance to be updated. And so as we form relationships with those different parts that sit at the table, you know, they begin to update their beliefs because they're used to feeling like, for example, you know, if somebody grew up not feeling heard or whenever they were anxious, they were told all the reasons they needed not to be anxious, or they were, you know, reprimanded for it or made wrong for it, then they learned to be very alone and to just deal with that feeling alone. And so when we start going to that part, mm-hmm, saying, hey, I'm here with you. It's okay. I'm just going to be right here with you while you're feeling this way. You know, in the beginning, they're like, okay, you know, I'm not sure you're going to come back. But then we do. We go back again, you know, and then we go back again. And then they start realizing like, whoa, I'm not alone with this. And the feeling of being in anxiety starts to feel less threatening and less alone. And so their beliefs about what it means to feel anxious, they update, they become different. Does that make sense?
It's fascinating.
They update. That's genius. That's just like you have to update software. You got to update your own software.
Totally. But you update it through the relationship that you form with them.
So simple.
Jaw is dropped right now.
I'm going to return the chainsaw that I bought the other day.
Oh, Jonna.
Don't do that, Jonna. You never know. No, no.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Future reference. It's always good to have a chainsaw in your back pocket.
Yeah. Get the leaf blower and just rev that thing while you got a glass of wine in one hand and the trigger in the other. Emily, you are brilliant. I wish we could talk to you longer. We're wrapping up here with Emily Caldwell. She's the author of What If You're Right? Discover How Right You Are in a World That Makes You Feel So Wrong. Are there any key points we didn't get to that you want to put out there first? If not, I want to make sure people know how to find you, follow you.
Yeah,
get your book.
I think we covered a lot of the key points well. But yeah, I think we're good.
Okay, so how can people, if they want to either work with you or follow what you have to say or follow you on social media or buy your book, how do they do that?
Totally. So I work with people through Waterleaf Naturopathic Medicine. So it's waterleafnaturopathic.com. And my wife and I see people in programs where she does their physical health and I conjunctively do their emotional health for, you know, like 6 months at a time. And so that's how they can find me in terms of working with me. And they can also buy my book on Amazon, on my website, drdremilycaldwell.com. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Okay. Oh, we're wrapping up here with Dr. Emily Caldwell, author of What If You're Right? Discover How Right You Are in a World That Makes You Feel So Wrong. I'm loving the book. And thank you so much for all the love and care and transparency and authenticity you brought to us today. And through your book, you're definitely going to be helping a lot of people. So thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's just been a treat talking to you guys.
Yes, thank you very much. And we are not done with Happy Hour yet this morning. We still got segment number 3 on the way with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And yeah, I'll be back too. Apologies. But please hang with us. Segment 3 is still to come.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back once again to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Barry.
So that was nice to talk to Emily there.
Yes, it's a refreshing approach to a common issue that people face, of feeling not good enough or feeling broken or feeling like they need to be fixed or feeling anxiety or anything negative that they fight against and are tired of fighting against it.
And everybody goes to that. You know, some more than others, but everybody goes to that. And I think what people appreciate is a simple approach to solving their problem. If they can't solve their problem, feeling better, right? We just want to freaking feel better.
Exactly.
And she showed us a couple of simple ways where we could get that ball rolling. That's just genius.
Well, it's kind of twofold. It's here's the theory. Here's the big picture. You know, that analogy of all the kids at the table fighting for attention was like smack my forehead with my palm of my hand. And that's what we do with ourselves. We have all these aspects of ourselves that we're fighting against and they don't want to rule your life. They just want to be heard. So when you pause in the moment of uncertainty, of fear or negativity, which is counterintuitive when we're feeling that either in experience or in something inside, all we want to do is get away from it. And it's counterintuitive, but she's saying pause, just pause and sit with it and let that emotion or thought be heard. And it just completely dissipates the power and intensity. And then, okay, now what?
Which is so, I mean, it's almost like the core is attention, but not like not negative attention, not even positive attention. Just hello, like
presence.
What do I know from you? What are you trying to say? No judgment, no anything like that. Which is just it's just a very interesting approach. I'm all about the woo woo, and this really isn't even woo woo if you think about it. It's just taking a moment to feel the feels, kind of in a sense, which is God, I can't believe all this YouTubes and all the meditations I've been doing is already having a positive effect.
YouTubes.
Yes.
You didn't get it from the Facebook. You got it from the YouTubes.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we just got to figure out what to call our show and our YouTube channel.
Yes.
I got a couple ideas I wrote down, none of which I can share on this interview.
You two certainly would be quite the meditation guides. Yes, you would.
I have one idea. I'll text it to you as we show, you know. Here we go.
I like how you did the dramatic keyboard there, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
That with
always thinking cinematically, aren't you?
There we go.
She is Frankenberry.
I know.
That's the childhood part of herself that used to like put on plays and shows and be the actress.
That could also be.
And then there's the one that kept passing out every time she drank beer.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm trauma for it. You pass out one more time. Parenting is so different today, isn't it?
Oh my! God.
Your father's like, you pass out one more time.
It'd be like the classic mom.
Today we'd be like, call 911.
I'll give you a reason to pass out.
Today it would be like, I'm sorry, little Susie cream cheese, but did having your little ears pierced bother you? Let's go shopping for an American Doll doll.
Oh my God. You are right. Funny stuff. Well, I highly recommend Dr. Emily Caldwell's book, What If You're Right? It really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, and thanks so much to the doc for joining us today. And for Jonna Spillmore, for Carol Pesci, who will be working diligently on their new YouTube channel where they are going to become meditation guides, hopefully each of them with another classic photo with wine bottles and extra long straws. And we'll find out next time where they've gotten. In their new endeavors.
There you go. This one we're actually going to act on.
Let's do this, but let's have that picture. But in the background of our logo photo, we have to have like machetes, chainsaws, guns, like things that could really kill people in the background. Oh my God.
Yes. That would be good. Yes. Like, and it would be in a garage. They'd be, all those things could be hanging on like a, you know, those pegboards in a garage. In the background.
I think there should be images of us with like angry faces flipping people the bird. And then we're sitting in front of the like, all right, we'll get it.
Sitting on pillows, cross-legged, holding your fingers and thumbs together. Yeah, we got it. You got it.
Yep.
So, all right.
Well, bingo.
Thanks again to Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci, to the doc today for joining us. And we've got more happy hour still to come for you down the road. So please stick around with us for future shows. And for now, hey, thanks for sticking around with us on this one. We'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.